We're going to continue in our discipleship training. I thought, who still want to be a disciple, right? You want to be a disciple? We're going to spend a lot of time. It's going to look a lot of time. We're going to be in prayer, studying about it, and then being in it. Fact is, prayer is such a huge, huge, huge deal for disciples. Did you know that? Singing is not a huge deal. Is it an important thing? Yes. Reading scripture, important? Yes. But of all of the things, worship, praise, scripture, of all of the stuff that a disciple could do, the most important thing that a disciple does is to be in what? Prayer. Now, of all the things that you do in your own life, as a disciple, as a born-again, Bible-thumping, blood-blood, sanctified, cross-bearer, Jesus-freak, right? Give me that back. No. Prayer. And probably chances are you spend the least amount of time in prayer. Because you'll be in worship today for an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. And you do that once a week, right? And it's an hour and 45 minutes. If you go to my Bible study, you're there for a couple hours. So that's 3 hours and 45 minutes. How much time do you spend in prayer, do you think? In a week's time. Even when you go to prayer, maybe it's 5 minutes times what? If you do that every day, 7 times 5, Lori. Ooh, I ain't tricking you, Lori. 35 minutes, right? But prayer is hugely important. And we're going to be spending a lot of time in prayer. So today, get your Bibles out. And we're going to turn in our Bibles. And we're going to learn today what a disciple needs to know about prayer. And we're going to study today the characteristics of acceptable prayer. That means there are characteristics of unacceptable prayer too. Did you know there's a right way and a wrong way? How many knew there's a wrong way to pray? There's a wrong way to pray. And there is a right way to pray. And we're going to spend a lot of time. This week, next week, week after, we're probably going to spend 5 weeks in prayer. That's how important this is. And so today, we're going to study together what are the characteristics of acceptable prayer. Which means there is unacceptable prayer and acceptable prayer. You remember a story about two brothers, Cain and Abel? And what were they supposed to do? Give a what? An offering. That's what they were supposed to do. Give an offering. And Cain gave an offering and Abel gave an offering. How many remember the story? What did Cain give? Crop, grains. Right? From his crops. Abel gave the first of his lamb, his livestock, and Cain gave grain. Were they both acceptable? Well, what's that? Well, but it wasn't acceptable though, right? Abel's was acceptable and Cain's was not. So Cain got mad, and what did Cain do? Killed his brother. The first opportunity for fratricide, killing, murder, happened there. From a brother to a brother. But the only reason I bring that up is some things are acceptable to the Lord and some things what? Are not. They both gave. True? They both gave. Is that true? You guys look at me like I'm crazy. They both gave, right? One's was acceptable and one's was. Everybody can pray. Some are acceptable and some are not. That doesn't seem fair, does it? You think all prayer would be acceptable. All gifts would be acceptable. It's not. We know, Barry, I don't, I almost said a little old lady. I'm glad I didn't say that in your presence. Because you say, you're picking on the old people again. So let me, a poor person could be sitting in this chair. A poor person. And a million billionaire, zillionaire person could be sitting here in this chair. This person could give a dollar. And this person could give $10,000, and this person's gift might not be acceptable, and this person's would be acceptable. How many agree with that statement? We know that's true, because this person could be called the widow. And she could give what? A mite. Some things are acceptable, and some things are what? Not. And so we're going to learn what's acceptable in prayer. Disciples need to know this. Turn in your Bibles, please. Into the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter and the 22nd verse.
And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.
First characteristic of acceptable prayer is praying in faith. And Clyde said it. He's right. Faith. P Prayer and faith. Right, Clyde? Prayer and faith go hand in hand. First thing that a disciple needs to know as an acceptable prayer is that you must pray in believing that you will receive it. Believing that you will receive it. Huh. Now let's get this right. So I pray for a Cadillac, Escalade, silver, heated seats, and I'm going to get it. And I go to prayer and say, "Oh Lord, I believe you're going to get me one." Would that be an acceptable prayer? But I'm praying that I believe in it, Pastor Colin. Am I going to get one? Chances are, what? We hope not. So that's not the way this works. Praying and believing that God's will be done in your request. Help me understand the difference. Huge difference, right? Huge difference. Praying as in believing. Turn to your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
All right, put your Bibles down. Pay attention to me. It's going to get a little bit up there somewhere. I'm going to try to, you know, bring this down, but it's going to be up there. Some people are going to say, "Oh, I hate when pastors go up there. I can't understand it." I'm going to try to bring it down. But I got a story up there, but I'm bringing it down. Atheistic argument. You sum it all up in this example I'm about to give you. Suppose that we have a child with cancer. Atheistic argument goes this way. If you believe that God can do all things, and yet this child dies of cancer, then your God chooses not to do it, because this child will not die of cancer. Or God chooses to heal the child of cancer, but can't do it. Which means that he's not a God that can do anything. Are you following my argument? For example, here's the atheistic argument. Can God make a rock too big that he cannot pick it up? I'm seeing some heads going, can God make a rock too big that he cannot pick it up? But here's the argument. If God cannot make a rock too big that he cannot pick it up, he cannot do all things. Because you're telling me that he can't. You see the trap in the argument? If God can do all things, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Well, now there's the trap. Well, if God cannot make a rock too big he can't pick it up, then he cannot do all things. Because if he could do all things, he could make a rock so big he couldn't pick it up. But then if he can't pick it up, guess what? He's not all powerful. That's the argument. If you're not equipped for that, it's hard to handle it because you get yourself in a box. Do we follow the problem? And here's the reason, the argument. God's not messing with rocks. He's messing with lives. And so when you go to prayer, the first thing you have to understand is you have to believe that God is capable of doing what? All things. So when you go to prayer, you have to believe that God can do what? All things. So you never want to go to prayer and say, "Oh God, I hope you can do this." Unacceptable. You're already on the unacceptable page. Because you're saying what? "I hope you can do this." What would be the better way of saying it? "I know you can do this." So you have to go to God in prayer, in belief, in faith that he can do it. Now, because he can do it, does that mean he's going to do it? No. And we're going to get into this. But if you go to the Lord and he doesn't do it, doesn't mean he can't do it. He just says what? "No, I'm not going to do it." But the faithfulness that you have got to understand in your heart is that when you go to the Lord, it cannot be in doubting that he is capable, because he is capable. How many understand that? And so it is that kind of faith that a disciple understands that it's acceptable to the Lord. Turn in your Bibles. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Now that passage of Scripture is clearly saying what? If you go to him in doubting, what are you going to get? Nothing. Zip. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. I cannot, in fact, I need to sit down and tell you this because sometimes I get so weary. Really, I get so weary doing this. I probably go, I don't know. Yeah, how much, you know, I spend about $900 a month in gas. $900. Going back and forth to hospitals all the time. My expense count for mileage, $600 a month. $600 a month they owe me in gas. Back and forth to hospitals. I'm serious. It's like a circle. No, I walk in the front room with people now at hospitals. They just give me the tokens now. I don't have to sign anymore. Here, Pastor Tom. And you know what? I sit there in rooms of people that are suffering so badly, and they want me to pray for them. And I say to them, God has heard your prayers. And you know what they say to me? I hope so. And all that praying that we just did means what? Nothing. It means nothing. Do you understand that? Because if you go to him doubting him, what will you receive? Nothing. Nothing. And I can't begin to tell you the times that I have prayed and anointed and sang and laid hands on people with all their family around me. And I say, the Lord is in charge. He's on the case. And they say, God, I hope so. Oh, that drives me crazy. Because everything we just did is what? Boom. Gone. But Pastor Tom, you don't understand the trials and tribulations that I have been through. I hope that somebody's hearing me. Get over yourself. He heard you. He's God. He's not you. He's not your mama. He's not your daddy. He's not the doctor on charge. It is God, and he heard you. Is that not true? Now, in this room, I know I'm dealing with the choir. At least I hope so. Most of you. And I'd be willing to bet even some of you had gone to prayer and said, God, I hope you heard me. And you're the choir. What do you mean you hope he heard you? Was he like on a vacation or something? Oh, I know God works like 7 to 3 that he's off. Right? He's too busy. I'm so unimportant. That's what are you saying? If you're saying that God did not hear me, what are you saying? He's like me and Clyde, we need the hearing aids. Like Tammy's husband, we need the hearing. God can't hear me? Are you kidding me? Let's settle this right now. Does God hear the prayers of everyone who goes to him in faith? Who goes to him in faith? Does he hear their prayers, yes or no?
Yes.
What if everybody in the whole world, in faith, pray to him at the same time?
Yes.
Does he hear that?
Yes.
Then get over yourself that when you go to him in prayer, in faith, does he hear you?
Yes,
he does. Now, issue number 2. But I am so insignificant in the big scope of things. I love to pray for everybody else, but not for me, because I am so unimportant. How many feel that way sometimes? I see the people going, okay, now B-boy, who feels that way? Sometimes, okay. There's not one itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny little... See, I was going to say that, didn't you? You were going to sing it, were you? Bird... that falls from a single tree that he does not see. It says in Scripture that not one sparrow falls from a branch that he does not see. Not one. And you are of more value than that. But who's the you? All the yous, raise your hand. Bah, that's me. But Pastor Tom, you are just so conceited. You're so stuck on yourself. Well, if that means that God loves me best, he does love me best. He loves me better than all of you. I know he does. I know he has my picture on his refrigerator. He does. He does. And every time I send him a love letter, he puts it on the fridge with a little magnet. How many of you think he loves you best too? How many think he loves you best? He loves me. Oh man, I know he loves me. Look who he gave me. He gave me Sissy. He must love me so much. So, does he love you as much? Well, how do you know he loves you? You know what you're saying? This is what you're saying. Now, you need to grasp this, okay? Grasp this. Christianity 101, seminary, first day. Ready for this? When you feel that you are insignificant and you are not worth the friend next to you, what you are saying is, God said to Jesus, well, go to die and die for that person. Not very important, but I don't care. You're not important anyhow. Go die for him. That's what you're saying. Jesus, go down and die for Mike. He's not that important, but oh well, he's more important than you. I don't love you that much at all anyhow, so go die for him. You see what you're saying? Look at the argument you're trying to make with yourself, that your life is insignificant, but God had a son die for you anyhow. How does that make any sense? It makes zero sense. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, would he have died for you? Yes. How many are important to God? How many know he wants to spend some time with you? How many know he wants to hear your prayers? Right? And the only way you grasp that is you're thinking like your mind. You're inside of your head. Your brain is superseding God's brain. Well, if I were you, God, I wouldn't want to spend time with me because I'm just a screw up. If I was you, God, I wouldn't want to spend time with me because you just don't understand how I mess up all the time. If I was you, well, get over yourself. You are not God. Turn to the person next to you and say, thank God you're not God. Go ahead. Now, some of you might say this, even though you think you're God, I'm glad you're not. And so, we got to understand that when we come to him, we must come to him in faith. Look at James 1:7.
For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord.
Look at 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Hey, look. I'm going to save you guys a couple minutes a day because I care about you. Don't waste your time. I'm serious. Don't even waste your breath. Don't even waste your words. If you're going to him doubting, don't even do it. You're just wasting your breath. Why do it? Why do it? True? Why do it? Why even do it? We have a little grandson, James. James, how old is James, Sissy? He'll be 2 in November, so what's that mean? 18 months. And I bring him on Thursdays a nummy. I have an appointment with him Thursday mornings. I bring him nummies. Thursday mornings, nummies. And I have a very specific list of what I'm bringing him because my daughter don't let me bring him anything. I can bring him pancakes. Pancakes are allowed, right, Sissy? Right. And apples? But whether he likes numbers or not, I still say that. I don't care. I do. And so he expects me to be there on Thursday mornings. I have a date, breakfast date with him. And I bring him pancakes and apples and sometimes a little biscuit. Now, he's 18 months. He knows I'm coming. Why does he know I'm coming? Because I said so. Right, Jimmy? And because why? His faith. He knows I'm coming. And he knows I'm bringing it. The fact is, our daughter, Desiree, calls us on the phone sometimes on Wednesday night. Right, Sissy? And she says to Sissy or I, hey, you're coming tomorrow, right? Because he's asking for you. He's 18 months. He believes I'm coming because I told him I'm coming. If you don't have faith like a child, you ain't going nowhere. For unless you come to me as what? A little child, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You won't see it. See, he doesn't care at Wednesday night whether or not I got 25 phone calls or not. He doesn't care. He knows I'm coming. Why? Because I said it would. See, he doesn't really care if my supervisor called me on the phone and said, hey, you got 10 people to go and see on Thursday. He doesn't care. Because you know why he doesn't have to care? Because he knows that he's on the top of my list. There is nothing that will stop me from going there on Thursday mornings. If you call me on the phone and said you're in intensive care, I'd go see him first. You want to know why? I told him that I would. Do you believe in God like that? Do you believe like that little child? That's the question. And when you start to think to yourself, well, I'm so small and I'm so insignificant and I really don't mean, well, that 18-month could say the same thing about me, couldn't he? Well, Pastor told my grandfather, he is so busy and so important, so many people want a piece of him, and he's got to do the community life thing, and he's got to do the faith community Christian church thing, and he's got the Pennsylvania State Police thing, and you know, I'm just a little 18-month-old, he certainly, you know, he's not going to come see me. I must be so small and so insignificant. Geez, I must be the last on his list. No. He's not the last on my list. Back then, I'm talking to him about you, now him, and it's not even Thursday. He is what on my list? Now, here's the hook. Could my grandson Jacob be first on my list too?
Sure.
Well, that's two. How could two? Could Jonah be top of my list too? How about all my grandbabies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the big scope of the worldly things that I could be involved in, of the big scope of the important things that you could come up with, bringing pancakes to an 18-month so I can have breakfast with them? Would that be like on your list of very important things you think I would be doing? Probably not. Right? Sissy and I got invited back to do all the Pennsylvania State Police memorials. Right, Sissy? I got invited back to go to Harrisburg by the Lieutenant Governor to go to Harrisburg to be able to do the opening of the Representative Senate when they meet in the first of the year. Praise God. He's more important than that. He's more important than that. How many know that you're more important to God too? And of all the things I could get across to you today, grasp it. That when you go to Him, do not doubt. Do not doubt. Now, as much as I tell you I'm bringing pancakes, I can't bring them French fries. Can I, Sissy? No French fries. Because his mother trumped me. Mother says, what on a French fry, Sissy? New. Now, because he's not going to get French fries is not because I can't bring them to him. Hey, I got money. I could go buy French fries if I want to. I could do it. I have the means to do that. Let me understand that. I could go buy, if I'm going to buy McDonald's and get pancakes, I could get a Big Mac for him. Chicken nugget, Happy Meal. I could do it. I have the means to do it. But I'm not bringing it to him because it's not what? Good for him. He can want it all day long, and I can get it, I can afford it, but he's not going to what? Get it. It's not because I can't do it, it's because I'm not doing it. Is it because he's not important to me? No, it's because he's more important to me. Let me grasp that truth. Are you grasping this yet? Disciples, get this. Turn your Bibles, please. Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Alrighty now. Faith. Where we get this faith? Where we get this? Now, let's go back. My little grandson, 18 months old, little baby James. He knows I'm going to bring him his breakfast on Thursday morning. Unless his mother tells me I can't because she's got something to do. I've never canceled on him. Have I, Sissy? Never. Never, never, never. Of all the things, the busyness I have to do, I'm meeting with him at 7 o'clock on Thursday mornings. Me and him sitting down at the kitchen table. He's getting his little high chair. And I'm cutting up his little pancakes, right? That's what I do. That's what I do. I enjoy having breakfast with my little grandboy. Now listen to me. It's important that you grasp this. So important. How does he know I'm coming? A, he majored in philosophy in preschool. B, they talked about it on Sesame Street. C, he spends time with his grandfather. What is it, Sarah? C, way to go! He spends time with me. He knows me. True? He didn't sit down and have a big dissertation from any of you telling about his grandfather. He spends time with who? Me. Monday, I'll be down there assisting. I'll be down there coaching Riley's softball team. I'm coaching Riley's softball team. Love coaching them little kids. She's my grandbaby. I'm coaching softball. Of all the things that I could be getting involved in, guess what I'm doing Monday night? Coaching a bunch of little girls softball. And what's all their names, sissy? Becky. Becky. They're all Beckys. All Beckys. I can't remember the names, so they're all Beckys. I do. Becky, come here, Becky. Becky. That's not my name. I said, Becky. Come here, Becky. Come here. Now, it's really funny to say, Becky's up the bat. Guess how many Beckys I got batting, Lori? All of them. It's so funny. Come on, what are you all doing? We call it Becky. But they know I'm going to do that. She knows I'm going to do that. Why? Because she spends what? She knows I'm coming on Monday to help her coach softball. Why does she know that? Spends time with me. You spend time with the Lord? See, if you doubt him, I got a problem with that as your pastor. It means you're not spending time with him. You spend time with somebody else, and they're not him. Maybe you're spending time with Desperate Housewives, you're spending time with, you know, Dancing with the Stars, or maybe you're not spending enough time with him. Because if you spend time with him, you would what? Know him. And if you know him, you would know that you're important with him. You would know that. Faith comes through what? And hearing comes by the Word of God. How many of you know a guy named Jeremy Lin? Anybody know Jeremy Lin? What's Jeremy Lin do, Bob? Basketball player. What? Basketball player. Anybody see this guy play? Okay. He has a secret handshake. Sister and I just saw that. He has a secret handshake that he does with his big, big co-member of his team. You ever see the handshake that he does? Never seen it? Come here, Brian. It's really cool. I've seen him do this, but I never knew what he did it for. Now, this is Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin's big stuff, right? He's going to be like the new Tiger Woods, right? Now, he's with his friend, and he does like this. He goes like this. He slaps his hand. That's what he does. The first thing he does, he goes. And then he reaches in his pocket, he puts on his glasses like this. His spectacles. That's what they do. Watch the basketball team. Now, put your hand like this. He goes like this. Oh, slap hand. Boom, boom. Okay, put your spectacles on. Now, put your hand like this. He goes. Point up. Hey, glasses. Put them back inside your flat pants. Okay, walk away. I didn't want to do their part. Okay, come here. I wasn't going to do that. She thought I forgot, but okay. So listen to me. Now listen to me. This is what he does. And he just explained that, you know, this is NBA basketball players before the game. They're slapping each other, high five. They put on the glasses. The other team member gets out the Word of God. Jeremy Lin goes, until he finds the passage that he wants, he goes, that's the one. He points up to God, thank you to God, takes his glasses off, puts it back in the shirt, smacks him on the back end, and says, let's go play basketball. Is your faith that big? Is your faith that big? I don't know whether it is or not. But I'm here to tell you, you have got to clearly understand with every ounce of who I am, I'm trying to get this across to you. And we're probably going to be into prayer at this rate, probably till fall. But prayer is important, right? There is acceptable and unacceptable things to the Lord. How many know that is true? That in all things, there's acceptable and unacceptable. True? Is there a gift you can give this morning that's acceptable and unacceptable? Yes. Yes, what's acceptable? Giving him the first fruit. 10%. That's acceptable. Anything less? Oh, Pastor Tom, you're going to go off on tithing. No, that's after prayer. That'll probably be Christmas time. Another disciple discipline. How many of tithing is a discipline, right? Yes. We're going to get into that too. Acceptable and unacceptable. Acceptable and unacceptable. There is prayer that is acceptable and prayer that is unacceptable. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. That's unacceptable. You should not pray in repetition. In fact, we're going to talk about that too. Repetitious prayer. And I don't want to get into Roman Catholicism kind of stuff. I will. Not today. But I will. You know, praying the rosary and repetition. Is that acceptable or unacceptable? Unacceptable. It's just speaking. It's speaking, right? It's prayer which comes, first of all, the first disciple discipline today you need to learn. Prayer is in faith. Faith in what? He heard me. Faith in second, he can do it. I come to him in no doubting. If I go to him in any way saying to myself, I don't think you're going to hear me, but I'm going to try anyhow. I'm going to ask for this to be done, but I don't think you can do it. Or, yeah, what's the use? You're too busy. Bless you. He heard that too. Prayer. What's the first discipline of prayer? Faith. And ironically, Clyde said that today, right? Faith. Faith. He can do it. He heard you. And now it's his choice. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much even for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. Lord, we take it upon faith that you hear us. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, there ye are also. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for getting us here today. We thank you, Lord, that you got us up this morning. We thank you, Lord, for getting us here safe. And we thank you, Lord, for spending some time with us this morning. And all of God's people said, amen.